I tell you to be different and creative and think this way. A much used business cliche. Kayla.
What is outside the box?
You got it.
We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. On OTB Nation, welcome in to episode number 226 of the allegedly award-nominated, honorably mentioned, and of course now viewable on the YouTube Outside the Box podcast, part of the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. It's KB and Deej coming at you from Underground Studios with the drip, the swag. Deej got that new PLL original stuff because he's an OG. I don't know what that makes me, but hey. At least one of us got it, and you're looking fire. I'm fresh off of a very close family friend graduating, so I had to style and profile. Had my running shoes on earlier, aka my cheetah print Vans. Feeling a little Lil Wayne-esque with my.
You look good. You look good.
I look good, feel good, play good. That's what it's all about, baby.
Yes, sir.
We got a loaded show. Plus, stick around all the way at the end of the episode because we're going to talk some just semantics about the pod. We put the poll out earlier. On the Twitter, we're going to work some things out, see what makes the most sense for our schedules and for you guys, because obviously we do this for the listeners and the viewers. But before we get started, make sure you're following us on the socials. They go down below on the ticker if you're watching on YouTube, at OTB Laxpod, Twitter, Instagram. Follow DJ on Twitter, at SCS underscore next great. Deej, the Twitter milestone happened for me. I surpassed 2K. It's about fucking time. Only took me 10 years of being on Twitter, but here's to the next 10 and the next 2,000. You can follow me at KBIZZL311. Check out the website, undergroundsportsphiladelphia.com, for all of our written content. Subscribe to the podcast feed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, we are there. Leave the 5-star ratings and reviews. It's like pulling teeth, I know. We sound like a broken record every week. But it truly does help us out. It helps more people find the show, and it helps OTB go to the goddamn moon if you leave these 5-star ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and it really takes us to the moon and potentially Mars if you subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel. Hit the like button, the bell icon, so you don't miss a single video. Plus, you get all of the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network shows. So maybe if you're an OTB listener, we've had this happen before, Deej. We have OTB listeners that have crossed over to listening to Streamer Season. We've had Top Bins listeners cross over to listen to the main pod. Like, that's why we have it as a community channel. Everything's on there. It's a variety thing. Go check it out. Hit the subscribe button. Leave comments in the comment section. Get that thing flowing. And you can check out all the clips. We just clipped up our on-site Drake Porter do review. And, I'm going to try to do that for all of them because all the do reviews are on camera. So eventually we'll roll out all the do reviews and have a whole playlist for you guys of all the do reviews. And hopefully Mountain Dew sponsors the goddamn show for it. But you got to subscribe to the YouTube channel for them to even think about doing it. So go subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel. Shout out to the sponsors. Tomahawk Shades, best small batch eyewear in the game. Deej, I don't know if you saw this. They just announced Tomahawk RX. The prescription lenses are in. Finally, it's been rumored for a long time, but they're now available. So go to TomahawkShades.com. Use promo code USP for 25% off your order at TomahawkShades.com. Kenwood Beer. Go to KenwoodBeer.com. Crack open an ice cold Kenny this week if you're in the Philadelphia area watching PLL, NLL, or anything else. You got to be 21 or older to do so. And, of course, please drink responsibly. And DJ's favorite tabletop game, Bino Board. DJ, I don't know if you've seen. They've been stocking up on so much stuff recently. They got the travel cases in now, which is going to come in very handy during the playoffs for us. They've got the Binho Dad hats, the Binho Trucker hats. You obviously saw the black bands on our board. They've restocked the red bands, and they've been teasing that red bottom board that I commented on, and I said, this looks like it's straight out of the Upside Down from Stranger Things. They tagged Stranger Things in a comment and said, collab, question mark. Be pretty sweet to have an Upside Down Stranger Things Binho board. But you guys can go to binhoboard.com, use our code BINHOUSP to get 10% off your order at binhoboard.com. Plus, if you sign up for those text messages from them, you get special announcements. That's what how I found out about the carrying case first. I'm letting you guys know, by the time you are listening to this on Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, the Binho Classic Green Turf Stripes board will be back in stock. It's limited edition. Go get that thing. You're not going to want to miss it. It is a fan favorite. The Binho Classic Green Turf Stripes board will be back in stock 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 p.m. Pacific at binhoboard.com. We got a lot to get into. DJ last week said we weren't as lucky as humans to potentially get a Game 3 of the NLL Finals. But the Colorado Mammoth said, DJ, buddy, listen, we got you. We've got a Game 3 on the horizon. Let's recap Game 2 real quick for the people. The Colorado Mammoth win at the Loud House, 11-8. They hold that Bandits offense to 8 goals. And we've got a Game 3 on the horizon, DJ, coming this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it was just – first off, it started off like every other game this playoffs. Very back and forth, a lot of action, very rough. Like, I mean, the hitting was there. There was a lot of emotion. I was like, these dudes want to win, both sides. And then Colorado kind of just took an edge. Like, Connor Robinson took over. Zed was obviously playing out of his mind. Dylan Ward played well, and I was like, whoa. I looked up. It was like a 2-goal game, and they stretched it to 3, and I was like, I think this game might be over. Like, it was very much Colorado's game. I mean, it was a good game. I was excited to watch. I was kind of happy to be wrong, almost. Like, I was like, well, I guess I am getting a third game. Like, let's go for it. I'm happy. Another weekend full of lacrosse.
There was no better way for this season to end than with 3 games of the NLL Finals. And I quote tweeted the announcement, because this game, let's not forget, Colorado's already down Ryan Lee. And last week, it comes out right before the game that Eli McLaughlin is out. So they played this game without 2 of their best players on the roster. And I said, if there's ever a time for a Zed Williams game, it's this one. Because for whatever reason, Zed in the box game is a different style of player than he is in the field game. Like, in the field game, he's just a certified weapon. We'll go out there and win you a ball game, take over. But in the NLL, for some reason, he's more of a role player, and I don't quite understand it because of how fucking good he is. But he went out there and he took over. He had 4 goals, I believe, in this game. Connor Robinson, the Mad Hatter, just continues to be unbelievable. One of the most underrated pickups from this past offseason from the Saskatchewan Rush for Colorado. Dylan Ward has been playing out of his goddamn mind in this series. And I don't know if you saw today, as we record this on Thursday night, the Buffalo Bandits tweet out, it's a sellout. 19K going to be in Bandit land this weekend for Game 3, which is insane to think about.
Did you see what they said on Instagram?
I don't think I saw it.
It went... game, it was like Game 3 in Buffalo. Their house is loud. Our house is going to be louder. It's a sellout. And it had like 19K. They had like a graphic with 19K. I was like, that is ballsy.
Yeah, it's 19K strong is the graphic. And then the caption is, it's a sellout. Their house is loud. Ours will be louder.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I was like, "Ooh, what a spicy call out the day before game."
Right? Like, this NLL Finals, like, obviously, I've only been able to cover two since we've started this podcast, 2018, 2019, with this Bandits squad pretty much the same, and then the Calgary Roughnecks, and now this one here. This is only the second time since it's moved to a three-game format in the NLL Finals that we've gotten a Game 3. The only other time was in 2018 when the Rush beat the Nighthawks during their little dynasty run. That's crazy to think about. That, like, typically this is over in two games, but we get a Game 3 for the second time in NLL history with two prolific fan bases, two unbelievable offenses, two incredible goalies, and two teams that come, you know, first face-off on Saturday night at 8 o'clock now. It is going to be full-fledged, full force until the final whistle blows. And that is exciting because you have to leave it all out there, even though half of this Bandits team and then Zed and Dylan Ward are going to go and play in the PLL in a couple weeks. You got to leave it all out there because championships and banners hang forever, baby. You got to leave what you got out there and you suffer the consequences later almost. But, you know, if you're the Bandits, you're looking to be the best team in the regular season and win the title, get revenge from 2019. And if you're those guys from Chaos, literally be world champs year round. And if you're Colorado, you're looking just to like solidify that, hey, we weren't, you know, just some pushover team coming out of the West. We earned this spot. We earned this championship. We did it without some of our best players. We're buying into this underdog mentality. And you go toe to toe with arguably one of the best teams we will probably ever see hit an NLL floor.
Yeah, I think it's everything. You know, like these guys have been playing since December. They started training camp beginning of November. Like they put in everything they have over this entire winter for this game. They fought for a game three for this game. You know, like everything's coming down to this game. Like nothing else matters. Every other game that they played this year does not matter. It's all coming down to this one game. And it's just going to be a matter of who wants it more. I think this is going to be the best game of the year. Like that's a huge statement. Looking back at some of the games we saw this year, one goal games, overtime games, even some of the blowouts were really good games. But like this is by far going to be the best game of the year. The emotion, the passion, the effort, the offense to do, like everything we see in this game is going to be top notch. And it's just going to take pure skill to win, pure effort, pure will. And this is going to be very tough to call, very excited to watch. But it's like, I feel like Buffalo has more to lose in this than Colorado. Like Buffalo is like that team that's been there more than once constantly. And they just can't get over the hump. Like, you know, everybody's looking at them. Oh, 14-2. You were really good this year. Like you're expected to win this. Colorado's like just that new kid on the block pretty much. Like, hey, like, you know, you guys were good this year. Yeah. You know, you were second out West and you did well. You know, you made it here. You fought for a game three. Now, what are you going to do?
They were like, third, actually, because of the tiebreaker. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I couldn't remember if it was.
Yeah, I didn't. I just checked. They were actually the three seed out West.
Yeah. So, you know, they made it here and now they got to a game three. And it's like, what do you have to lose? You know, just go out there and ball, probably win. And then you get to celebrate a championship. But if you lose, everybody's looking at you like, well, you made it to the finals. What do you, you know, you have nothing to hang your hat on.
And I think it's one of those things with Colorado, too, where if they do end up losing, a lot of people, I think, will look at this team and be like, majority of this core is still going to be back here next year. And if Buffalo loses, they're going to look at that core and be like, what else can we do to actually win? Like, we have this core intact, and you know, he's an ageless wonder, but you have to think, like, how many more years of elite Matt Vince do you have? He's, you know, one of the most in shape 40-year-olds you'll ever see in your life. That's probably the one thing you have to think about if you're Buffalo, and it's like, you know, if we don't get it done now, how much longer do we have Vino back there holding down the cage for us, along with this core being at their peak, you know, talent-wise, all at once?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost do or die for them, you know, like you mentioned, getting older, you know, peaks come and go. They don't last long in lacrosse because of just how physical the game is, how much these guys are playing, especially because they're playing year round now. Like, peaks are going to go like that. Like, it's going to be, you know, 2-3 maybe 4 year peaks for guys. Like, so in reality, Buffalo doesn't win this year, they probably have 2 more years to do it, and then they're going to be dispersing guys and looking to do it elsewhere. So, like, literally, it's do or die this year. Like, they've had chances in the past, but this is probably the one. Not only are they playing, you know, a semi-battered team in Colorado, but, like, they're also 14-2 with guys at their peak. You got to win.
Yeah. You got to be able to seal the deal. And I think if you're Colorado, too, like, there's so much on the line in terms of just, like, yeah, we slayed Goliath. Like, we came in here, we came, we saw, we conquered, and, like, we can be, you know, back-to-back Western Conference team that goes into the NLL Finals and slays the Beast. Because that's what everybody looks at the Buffalo Bandits as right now, is they are that team that if you can beat them, like, that's ultimate bragging rights for a long time, because this is one of the best cores of a squad we'll see potentially ever, you know, at their peaks all at the same time. It's going to be wild. I'm going to ask you, your 3 keys to victory for the Buffalo Bandits are...
Top bins, top tier commentary.
Top drawer, upper 90.
You already down. Know.
You it's more already of a last term,
know.
I think that's how it
we
always
went,
goes.
Like,
the
45 minutes, and we were at, like, Chelsea. What are we doing?
I'm Dominic Ponteri.
I am Matt Kessler.
And we are here to talk about Champions League soccer today.
Hey, it's Top Bins time.
What's up?
We're back.
Control the transition game. Win the loose ball game. Hold Connor Robinson to 2 or less.
Good luck with that last one.
I know, right? I know, right?
I do agree with the transition game is going to be huge, because these are two teams that can operate really quickly in transition. I think for Buffalo, if they are going to want to win, I agree. You got to win the ground balls.
I guess I should clear up what I mean by control that. I think they should do their best to not let Colorado push transition at all. And then I don't think they should push any. I think they should slow down and get their offense on and run their offense. Like, you have 5 guys that are coming out every single time, fresh legs, very capable of putting the ball in the back of the net. Give it to them. You're in game 3 of the NLL Finals. Like, these guys have proven that they know what to do. This is the time to give them the ball and let them do it. Like, you know, I mean, I'm not going to tell you to give up a, you know, one-on-one breakaway or 2-on-1, but, like, if it's not there, give it off and sub off.
Because I would say, like, at least from Buffalo's standpoint, the way they operate, you have Nick Weiss and Ian McKay running in transition, which, like, their speed alone could be a determining factor, you know, if they can get down and finish. I agree. Like, if they can control the ground ball game, that's going to be massive. Max Adler's been fantastic in this series, and I don't see it slowing down anytime soon. I think with Buffalo, the big thing for them as well is keeping that ball moving. I think last game it was more them trying to force things because it wasn't going their way. They operate really well when they're moving the ball around and finding the spots that work for them. If they're trying to force, you know, square peg into a round hole, it's not great. And they try too much to overcompensate for what's not working. So if they can keep the ball moving around and kind of keep Colorado's defense like on their toes, that will be big. Because Colorado's defense last week was masterful against them. And quite honestly, I think my X factor in this game, because he's had some opportunities where you're just like, holy shit. I think my X factor is Connor Fields. You know, everybody talks about Josh Byrne. Everybody talks about Dane. Everyone talks about Tahoka. I think Connor Fields has been very underrated in what he's been able to do in this series. And he's going to be the guy that I think if they need a close, you know, clutch shot, I would put the ball on Fieldsy stick, because he's a weapon in terms of just accuracy and finding the back of the net when he gets those opportunities, and nobody's really looking for him because there's so many other guys out there. And I like what he's done in this series a ton.
If Fieldsy's out there, I want Frazier out there as well.
Yes. They work really well together.
If it's not going to be him, it's going to be Chase. Yes. Those two guys are just lethal clutch guys. They come through every time at the least. Like, you're like, yeah, sure, they're going to give the ball to Dane or Josh. And then 2 seconds later, the horn's going off. And you're like, who just scored? And it's either Chase or Connor every single time. Like,
and you know which one's which, because Chase has his helmet off already celebrating like a madman.
Yes.
Fucking love him, man.
He can never keep his helmet on. He's the best. He scores and it immediately comes off. I'm like, I'm so glad this is not football, because that's definitely a penalty.
And then on the flip side, your three keys to victory for Colorado.
Push transition, obviously get out and score, make the defense uncomfortable, get at Matt Vince. Get Zed going. I think Zed's got to have a good game. And then I think they have to play stellar defense. Mm-hmm. I think that if they let Buffalo pepper Dylan Ward, it's not going to be a good game at all.
Yeah, I think, again, let Zed cook. Like, especially if Eli McLaughlin's out again, which we won't know probably until Saturday at about, like, 5 o'clock. If he's out again, let Zed cook on the offense. Him and Connor Robinson together, let them go to work and just be your two weapons of choice out there. Defensively, replicate or attempt to replicate everything you did in game two. Because whatever the defensive game plan was for that worked magnificently. And my X factor is the man, the myth, the legend, number 82, Joey Capito. I think if Colorado's going to win this game, Joey's got to score at least once. Because their transition game, when he's going and he gets a fast break opportunity and he's all by himself, his confidence is untouchable. And he's going to find a way to put the ball in the back of the net, no matter who is in net for whatever team it is. And we've seen that in this playoffs. I think if Colorado's going to win, Joey Capito's got to be on the scoreboard.
I like that. I like that. That goes into the transition game. Like, I mean, 9 times out of 10, if they're scoring in transition, it's probably Joey Capito. I mean, he's played very well this year.
Yeah.
He's been a very, very good focal point in their team. So, I mean, he's got to get going. Seems like when he scores, he plays better defense too. So, I mean.
Yes. Joey Capito this season. In the playoffs, he's Joey Capito in six games played. DJ, he's got 6 points. Mm-hmm. He's got 4 goals, 2 assists. And in the regular season this year, in 14 games, he had 10 points, 6 goals, 4 assists. So he's potentially on pace to score as many postseason goals as he did all regular season. He's been fantastic this entire postseason, and I think they really just need him one more game to really step up and potentially have Colorado hoisting a trophy if things go their way. With that being said, shall we feed one final NLL duck? It is the NLL Finals Game 3 Pick of the Week, powered by the homies over at Pickup. You guys can go to playpickup.com, start playing the hottest headlines in sports. They are now the official fan engagement partner, DJ, of the Chicago Sky. Huge news for our homies over at Pickup. Go to playpickup.com now and start playing those headlines. Game 3, NLL Finals. One last dance for the 2021-22 season. It's the Colorado Mammoth. It's the Buffalo Bandits. In Bandit Land, 19K in attendance. Are we just sticking to our guns, Deej? Is this how it's going to play out? Who do you got winning Game 3 and hoisting the trophy once the clock hits zero?
I think we are sticking to the guns. I don't think they lose at home. So much has gone on in Buffalo. That place has been itching for a championship forever. It's literally the Caps going to blow off that place at the end of the game. It's just going to... And everybody's going to think there's a UFO. It's just going to be like, nah. That's just the roof. Everything's all right. But yeah, no. I think Buffalo puts it all together. Those guys have been there literally just a year ago. Not even. You know, like, what is it, like 9 months ago now that they're just there winning a championship? They know what it takes. You know, it's a one game win all. You know, that's what they were in last year. It was, or, you know, 9 months ago, it was one game. They had to win it, you know. So here they are again. They have one game, have to win it. And I think, you know, it's going to be a guy like Ian McKay who walks in and goes, I'm not going home without a goddamn trophy. So let's get to it. So, yeah, I'm excited to see Buffalo come out and play an exciting game. Colorado's going to give them all they absolutely have, and it's going to be a close one. But I like Buffalo to win at home and give Buffalo, the city, the championship they've been waiting for.
I'll say this. If Buffalo does win, can we somehow arrange for Ian McKay to meet Hezbollah, please?
Yes.
The man's going to potentially win 2 championships in a calendar year, and he's got to meet his idol.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. That would be electric. As long as we can be there to vlog it. Like, we got to be there.
Anytime we tweet Hezbollah memes or captions or anything and tag Ian, his mom laughs her ass off. It's the best. You know, I got to ride with the boys. They have been very supportive of my personal tweets about them. I like the way they've been playing. They've been supportive of the pod as OGs. And no slights to my Chaotic Bandits, because that is our thing. Copyright trademark that bitch. We started that flow. I mean, it's hard to replicate what Colorado did defensively against Buffalo in game 2. But if they do, I don't think there's any offense that is getting through that. They played a masterful defensive game to force this game 3. Zed Williams cooking the way he did was everything I've ever wanted to see from Zed in the NLL. It's like, let him just go do his thing. And he's on fire. Connor Robinson has been just magnificent. And I hate to be the one hoping for, you know, the spoiler, but I'm going with the underdog story, and I'm going to take the Colorado Mammoth in game 3 to win in Bandit Land, overcome all the odds, and Dylan Ward will be exempt from being traded ever again. And they will be hoisting a trophy at the end of the game. One last question, too. Who's your NLL Finals MVP?
Probably Dane Smith.
And if Colorado ends up winning? Because I'm also going Dane from Buffalo.
Maybe either Dylan Ward or Zed.
I was going to say C Rob.
I was thinking C Rob too, but like, yeah.
C Rob or Dylan, and then I think either Dane or Matt Vince. Mm-hmm. So that is the final NLL pick of the week for 2021-2022. Sad face. It's been a fun ride. We get one last dance. Just like we do with a one last recap, PLL Charlotte. It was a doozy of a weekend, an embarrassing weekend for the Redwoods, an electric weekend for a number of teams. Your biggest takeaways from Charlotte, Deej, where Redwoods are now in last place, Atlas are still on top, the Archers looked more like the Archers, and Whipsnake's overtime fetish just continues to trickle down year after year after year.
Yeah, I can't quite put my finger on what it is about the whip snakes that I don't like. But somehow they always win stupid games like that one.
Can I just say, I learned something this weekend with that Matt DeLuca, Jay Carlson non-goal.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing that Jay landed in the crease before the ball went over the line. Had no clue that that was an actual rule. Learned something this weekend.
Now you got us sounding all uneducated. You could have just asked
y'all
me.
Know. Hey, y'all know. Y'all know I'm new.
You could have asked me that off pod. That's a real simple question. Come on, bro.
Honestly, that's I thought it bounced off of DeLuca's back at first from the first replay look, too. So I thought that's why it should have gone in. And then when they showed it, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. To clarify, because I thought it did bounce off of DeLuca to go in, but then when they showed the slow-mo, I was like, that's the most ridiculous save I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah. To me, dogs had them. They should have won that game, but hey, that's a separate story. More on the dogs. They literally threw that game away, in my opinion.
I disagree, but I'll tell you why later.
Okay. Atlas is clear-cut best team in the league. Don't really want to say that too loud because there's certain people I don't really want to hear talking about it, even though he hasn't really shut up about it.
Love you, Diggs.
Absolutely.
Diggs is the only Atlas fan on the internet, so.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's the only real Atlas fan to ever exist.
I haven't really seen any other ones.
Every other Atlas fan is just a Paul Rabel fan.
No, hold on. I know a legit Atlas fan. I played ball with him, and he's like, he was mad that they were.
Is he on the internet though?
He's mad that they drafted Jeff Teat.
And he's not a real Atlas fan.
No. Hold on. And then I talked to him a year later, and he goes, "Hey man, Jeff Teat was pretty good. You were right. You were right. That was definitely the best."
I lied though. There is one other Atlas fan on the internet, Michael Ramirez, who follows us on Twitter. He's a true blue Atlas fan. No pun intended. But those are the only two that exist. It's Diggs and Michael Ramirez. That's all I acknowledge. Happy for them.
And then
congrats, guys.
There's our beloved Woods.
Tough. I'll say. One, great question by you in the press conference to RP3.
Yes.
Two, I thought that was one of the best answers of the weekend in a press conference and most transparent answers we've gotten from a player ever in a press conference. RP3 was very just like guard down, I'm going to tell it like it is. And, you know, as media people, we appreciate that. And I think it was just like some self-reflection going on at the same time. Not exactly for him, but just like as a whole for the team. And that's what a good leader does in the locker room. That's what a good, you know, on-field leader does and off-field leader. And I really appreciated what his answer was. And if I can clip it from the press conference, I'll plug it in on YouTube and in the pod. But I was very, like, pleasantly surprised by the way that he handled that press conference after the worst loss in PLL history, because it was the least amount of goals scored in a game, which the previous record was 4, also held by Redwoods. The only way to go is up. That's all I got about them.
No, you can score 2 goals and 1 goal and no goals and go down. So don't say that, because you're giving them an avenue to go ahead and do that. So,
I'm just saying.
We want to speak positivity and light.
I also have to apologize. Not that I was like slandering per se, and it was more so witch casting our guy onto a roster. I was so wrong about Sean Scannone. He has been unbelievable. I want to shake his hand. I want to say, you are a weapon. Keep doing what you're doing, brother. Because we only saw him in limited time last year. And while he was decent, I didn't know if he'd be able to hold up. He is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. He's been playing unreal. He's a big part of the reason why Chrome is doing so well. And he's able to outlet the ball. They're able to get out in transition. Then you have, you know, what might be the best attack line in the PLL right now with Nick Turn, Wisnowskis, and Malloy. Like, they've been blazing it up. Like, top to bottom
just
right now.
Behind Atlas.
Literally top to bottom, they're behind Atlas, and that's only because I think Trevor is just slightly better than Connor. I think that's the only real difference.
And Connor's been ridiculous.
Right. And it, literally ridiculous. I mean, he almost made TD look like a kid. Like, I mean,
he did.
He really like bested TD this weekend. Yeah. It was unreal. Along with the rest of the team, like, they just bested everyone. It was, I will say, defense looked better in my opinion, but they were just playing so much defense that they were bound to get scored on. Arden looked better in 40 and looked better at close D. Hopefully things will continue to trend in the right direction.
You think he shaves 20 more numbers off his jersey this week to try to switch the mojo around?
Hey, I don't know what we're going to see from him.
I was also told that 40 is an important number at Notre Dame, and it's given to seniors, which I didn't know when I've been slandering 40. It still looks bad. I don't care about your traditions. It still looks bad. Good for Arden getting the 40, but it still looks bad.
It's kind of like, what's that? What number does Sexton wear? 46?
Yes.
It's like 46.
It's like one at Maryland.
Yeah, but like 46 at Notre Dame is like number one pole wears 46. And like, you better ball out or you're going to get your number stripped. Like, it's legit, you know, so it's another one of those things.
What a gross number to be a tradition number.
Hey, chill out. I know you ain't talking Mr. Sticks.
I never said it was a tradition number.
I know, but still, that's an awful number in general. So we'll just stop talking about numbers.
The Sticks boys have been balling this year.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a lot of talk in the Discord about Reese Eddy coming over to the Woods, which I would love.
We've been calling for that since he got released.
Yeah, so I think that'll help a lot. I tried to mention Caraway, and I got crucified. Nobody thinks this is really a good idea. But if you ask me, I think initiation – I think everything is the problem. They're always saying, like, initiation isn't really the Woods' problem, but I think...
What is this? is this a fraternity?
Man, I think everything is the Woods' problem right now. Like, they can't get off-ball movement. They can't get on-ball movement. They can't get ball movement. They're all just standing around.
That's
like,
the biggest problem to me. The standing around, especially last week. They even said it in the broadcast booth. Nobody was moving. It was like Stonehenge out there. And the passing game has been abysmal. Like, no offense, Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder could be making better passes right now than what some of these guys are out there doing.
That's all offense. That's all offense.
Maybe it is.
You can't say nothing like that, bro.
But that's no offense to the legends, Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder. They could literally be making better passes than what the Redwoods have been making right now.
I was going to say, because this is a hand-eye coordination sport, and they can't see. So that's exactly all. That is all.
No offense to the two legends. But my God, when you have passes consistently soaring over guys' heads and going 30 yards out of bounds, what are we doing? And, like, I get you can only dress 19 on a game day. But Jesus Christ, switch something up. Like, yeah, he scored this past week, one of your three goals, but Matt Kavanaugh has not been impressive. Especially ball movement-wise. His passes are soaring over guys' heads. I don't know if he needs, like, LASIK eye surgery or what. Hit up Jameis Winston's doctor. Because his passes have been terrible. And you know it. You know that's a fact.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, I'd get rid of I've said it multiple times. I would step away from RP3, too. Like, I think he is a big part of the hindrance of the entire offense, in my opinion. Like, you have to run your offense a certain way because he's on your team and on the field. Like, because of who everyone else on the team and the way the offense is constructed, they would be better with a more open flow, no real quarterback to the offense, just dodge and go from there. You know, dodge, pass, redodge, et cetera, dodge, pass, shot. Like, that's just what their offense is more suited for. But with RP3 in the lineup, they have to run the 1-3-2, run it at X, have him initiate. Look, you know, have him look for the assist. Like, you can't really step away from that. He, you know, even when they went, you know, put him inside, even the offense still looks stagnant. Like, I feel like he is holding the offense back. And, like, that's no offense to him. Like, that's he's
and not that this is an excuse either. Nats told us this the past couple of weeks, especially week one when he's playing at like 70%. And he said that the team injury wise, because this week Sexton out again, they're playing like it's
out again.
Yeah, like Sergio Perkovic is questionable. He said they're playing like it's going into the postseason in terms of injuries, which you never want to hear that 2 weeks into a season.
Yeah, it's not good. And they don't have Anthony DeMeo, who's out, who they picked up after the draft, who, I mean, was electric for Maryland this year. It was an initiator but could pass and had one of the best catch and shoots in the NCAA this year. Like, he was unreal, but also out for the Woods. Like, they're dealing with a lot of injuries, but also, like, I don't feel like they're accommodating to the team in the best effort due to those injuries. They also don't have Mitch Bartolo yet, who they got in the draft, but hasn't come to play since the NCAA tournament has been over. So it's like, you know, they have all these injuries, but, like, there's so many other ways you could set up your offense. Like, that first game, I think the attack line looked much better with Cav, Jules, and Ryder. And even if you take Cav out and put Joe Robertson or Clark Peterson in there, I think that's better. And, you know, you run someone up at the mid. But I think you have to do something to allow more free flow and more option for dodge and pass and flow on the offense. I feel like it's
and the shot selection has just been so bad. Like, I didn't understand it at all. We'll get into it in our preview, but an old familiar face is back. But Redwoods, just figure it out. I'll say that it's still week two. It's still relatively early. Will I be more concerned if there's another loss this week? Yes. But it's 2 weeks in. We'll see what happens on Long Island. Last week, I think I was most impressed by Chrome, who we talked about. Archers looked like the Archers again, which was very fun. And Tom Schreiber confirmed to me in the press conference that his two-pointer was the product of dad strength. Which
that
was
is
great.
Hilarious.
Will Manny moved into ninth place all-time on the all-time points list. Matt Moore looked phenomenal And what did I say to you in the press box during that second half when Matt Moore was on the bench? Why is Matt Moore out of the game? And he looked phenomenal. Ryan Ambler continues to do Ryan Ambler things. I think the only issue, and you're going to have this issue when you have a first-time face-off guy, is that Archers didn't have their face-off guy. So they kind of got worked at the stripe a little bit. Gets laid out one of the gutsiest hits I've ever seen from a goalie. I mean, if your favorite team needs a linebacker this fall, maybe hit up Adam Gittleman, because my God. And I loved Andy Towers' response to, I think Austin Owens asked the question about, I think it was Jeff Traynor scored a two-pointer at the end of the game, empty netter. And Andy Tower, he basically asked him if AT was pissed off about it. And he was like, if this league didn't depend on goal differential, maybe you're a little mad. But he said he went up to Traynor after the game and literally said, that was the right decision. Don't be upset. Because he said Traynor came over to him and apologized. And he was like, don't apologize. That was the right play. That's more on me not being aware of everything going on. You have to take that shot. Like, in a league where first and second place last year was determined by one goal, you have to score as many goals as you can. And I felt the same way. I was like, you have to go out there and score as many goals as you can, especially against a team that might be the best 0-2 team of all time because they don't have their full roster yet. You have to take advantage of that type of stuff, and that's what the Archers did.
Bro, those words do not go ever together. Best 0-2 team of all time. I mean, you're not wrong at all. And yeah, I mean, that's a very solid point. I mean, I didn't even think twice about it when I saw it. I was like, I mean, he took
good for them.
Like, you know, I just thought total hockey. Like, those guys don't care if they're up 8-0. There's an empty netter. They're going to take it and go.
People forget that was the 3.2% rematch.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, everybody really thought that, you know, they were just going to blow through them, and chaos really took it to them, and Archers finally got a chance to come back. I don't think they really feel like it's the same because it's not necessarily the same group, but, you know.
Same defense they were scoring on.
True. True. I don't know. It's a little different without Ian.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, so I don't know.
And a tiny bit different because BK's back there instead of Johnny Serdik, but you're still shooting on Blaze Reardon. You still got to get through Jared and Jack. But for the most part, very similar defense that you're going up against, and same goalie.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a very great game.
Yeah, it was very fun. I mean, for Chaos to come back being down 11-4, CJ Costabile playing out of his mind. Out of his mind.
5 points.
Ridiculous. What is he, fifth long pole to score a hat trick?
Yeah, and there's two that did it twice.
Yeah, I think it was Scott Ratliff?
No. Earhart
did it twice, I think.
And, oh, who's the other one? I know who it is, too.
The first one was Bocklet.
Yep. Bocklet and Earhart are the only two to do it twice.
Bocklet did it twice? I thought Bocklet only did it once. I could be wrong.
I thought it was the first guy and then Earhart.
Sometimes we all just need to wind down after a long day of enjoying our favorite sports teams go to work. And with the rise of streaming platforms, new TV shows and movies are popping up every single week. And it might be overwhelming not knowing exactly what to watch. Well, that's where Streamer Season comes in. The exclusive streaming platform discussion podcast for TV and movies on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. Join me, KB, and a plethora of our hosts right here at USP breaking down all the new TV and movies that you guys should be watching across all the various streaming platforms that are available to the masses. Catch us on Streamer Season wherever you get your podcasts. Regardless, absolutely ridiculous game for him. And he's just ageless wonder. Ageless wonder.
It's unreal. I mean, him, Brody Merrill. Who else is old now? Well, I shouldn't say old, but I guess they are kind of old. Somebody said something about, like, Brody Merrill was playing lacrosse when Chris Gray was 5 years old or something like that.
That's insane.
I was like, that's actually unreal.
They're that's like not, so crazy.
Not just playing lacrosse, playing professional lacrosse.
That's so nuts. Yeah, I can't find that graphic that they tweeted out, but CJ was unreal. And I mean, Chaos are a couple weeks away from still getting their guys back. But it was nice in terms of if you're an Archers fan or, you know, just watching the game casually to see the Archers bounce back and look a lot more like themselves. They looked a lot more fluid on offense. Defense looked pretty solid at most points of the game. And then I think the Water Dogs Whip Snakes game, the reason I don't think the Water Dogs threw the game away per se, they did lose Jake Withers very early in the game, so they were kind of hamstrung a bit there, no pun intended. Hopefully Jake's okay. He's not playing this week, so that sucks for the Water Dogs big time. And then they lost Chris Sabia during the game as well. So to lose those two guys, and when you only dress 19, and the way that the Water Dogs kind of build their game day rosters, it's tough for them. They kind of had to put Zach Currier in like a hybrid role of taking faceoffs, taking them off the wing, which really hinders their offense and their transition game. But for them to hang in and force that game to go to overtime against that Whip Snakes team, being down two very pivotal players, I was impressed. And it's just the only issue for that with the Water Dogs is they're a team that has proven time and time again that they can't close.
That's true. But it's annoying.
It is. It's frustrating.
It's like,
but when the boy, friend of the program, Jay Carlson, snaps the way he does, it's good for the brand.
Would have been even better if he did that week one when I put him on my fantasy team.
He also, in the press conference, confirmed calling himself the Garbage Man, which was very awesome. I was like, all right, this is PLL canon now.
This is legit. We now know this is 100% true.
Also, one of the more insightful, and this is no knock at him because he's more of a quote-unquote off-the-record and casual talker, but one of the more impressive and insightful press conferences from Matt Rambeau in Charlotte. He was very, like, long-winded with his answers, very, like, you know, and he brought you into his thought processes, and it was a lot of fun picking his brain after the game. Can I just say Brian Cole is just an unbelievable addition for this Whip Snakes team. Stagg said bringing him in after not having him last year because of travel restrictions, he allows them to do a lot of things that they typically haven't been able to do in the past because of the type of player he is. And he's fit right into this system while also playing his style of lacrosse and not necessarily playing, you know, Whip Snakes ball. Like, he's a breath of fresh air for that Whip Snakes offense. He's so much fun to watch. And obviously, if you're an NLL fan, you see him playing in Georgia with that same intensity. But he was unbelievable. And he's been very, very good for them 2 weeks into his PLL career.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think, you know, their entire team has looked good to start off the year. I mean, I don't even know
if Whips have looked that good to start the year.
I don't think they've looked. I do. For what they have without Zed and, like it's hard to explain, like.
I think they looked better in Charlotte than they did in Albany, for sure.
I just think they look better than they do last year. Really? A lot better than they do. Like, dude, they weren't I think it's a lot to do with how much better Kyle Burnmore is playing. Like, they were losing games because he was just playing that bad. Like, at this time of the year last year, they were, what, 1-1, I think? Or no, I guess.
No, 2-0. They've started every year 2-0.
But, like, you know.
They didn't really fall off until after Baltimore when Rambo broke his hand.
Which was, what, week three, I think?
Three or four.
Yeah. And it's like, but then Burnler also started playing bad week three or four. And, like, everybody was like, what is going on? It's like now this year, like, there's not, even if Rambo broke his hand, I don't think, you know, everybody would be in the same concern that they were in last year. As far as, I don't. Like, it, what has Rambo done this year? You know, he's had a couple, you know, he's had quiet games. He's got a couple goals. He's got some assists, but he isn't, like, balling out like everybody has expected him without Rambo being, or without Zed being there. Like,
He's kind of been the guy to draw the defense, I would say, which has opened up, especially Charlotte-wise, opened up the floor for Gutty to play more of, you know, X attack and be traditional Gutty. And he's drawing people away for Jay Carlson, which he's done time and time again. That's just Matt Rambo, though. And I think he's better with Zed in the lineup because they play off of each other so well. And I think he's just kind of working on that with Gutty right now. And they have history playing together. They played together with the Wings for, you know, a little bit of time. And I think it's more so just, you know, comfortability with Rambo and the guys he's playing off of. But I think he's the type of selfless player that if he can draw the defense away and allow other guys to go score, he's going to do that 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, that's just him. You know, that's just his style of play. But, like, I mean, in all reality, pretty much anyone can do that. You dodge hard enough, you're going to draw a slide, and then you move the ball. Like, you know, like, that's just, you know, cliche lacrosse in all reality. He seems to just do it a little better.
Cause, I mean, he's also the type that can draw your best defender away, too. Because of how good he is.
I mean, if that's what y'all want to say, I feel like some teams overemphasize it a little bit, but that's just, you know, my opinion. I think you could, you know, like, Chaos does a really good job of kind of leaving him out on an island.
Well, I'm not saying you have to. I'm saying teams can, and I think.
And they do. And I don't.
Especially last week where Water Dogs were hindered a bit. They kind of were forced to, which opened up things for Gutty to look as good as he did, and obviously for Jay. But, yeah, I mean, they just have unlimited options, and then Brad Smith just out of the clouds. Boom. Game winner. No mustache, Brad.
Yeah, I just think they've looked much better this year all around.
I think they've looked better defensively. I think the offense still is leaving some things to be desired, and I don't know if that's just Zed not being there. But I think their offense can be better. But I think their defense has looked much better than it did last year. I think their defense last year was exposed a ton.
A ton.
For the first time, like, ever. And I think Ty Warner being back is huge. But yeah, I think their defense, and like you said, Burnlord playing like we know him to play is big. And then Nards is just getting possessions again. Like, he's just a silent assassin. Like, I feel like everyone was talking about Nards in the bubble, and then now nobody talks about him, and he's still winning fucking 70%+ of his faceoffs.
Yeah, he just does it because he's like, that's my job. I'm just going to do it. I don't care about the praise, the awards, none of it. I'm just here to do my job, help us win. Very humble about it. I like it.
Facts. Shall we get into our PLL Long Island preview? It's week 3, and we teased it. You probably saw it. Miles Jones and Sergio Salcedo are sharing a locker room. Salcedo's back in the woods. You were not a fan of this move. I was kind of indifferent to it. I do enjoy going back and looking at old highlights that Joe Keegan tweets out of players when they sign with new teams. And I did pull up a clip from the bubble when Salcedo was playing for Chaos and seeing him on the wing. Maybe that's something that, you know, Nat employs. The big question is, will Miles and Salcido pass the ball to each other after the Instagram beef? I'm sure things have been brushed over. But I will say, as I reported from screenshots a few years ago when the trade happened, just saying, screenshots, Redwoods have now officially won the Miles Jones trade. Full-blown, full-fledged, because both guys are on the Redwoods. All jokes aside, I don't hate the move. It's kind of a whatever-type signing. We'll see if Salcido still has his speed, and we'll see if they use him on the wing, because I think that's the biggest takeaway, is just how they're going to use him. With Perk being questionable, it makes this signing kind of a head-scratcher, just trying to figure out what they're going to do. But it's a whatever sign. It's, you know, whatever happens, it's a free player on the roster. He probably won't be here the entire season unless he balls the fuck out. It's whatever. I'm okay with a free signing.
I haven't had many feelings about this. I don't know how I feel about it.
Really. I'm indifferent.
Like, I'm kind of just like, okay. I feel like there's probably some other moves that could have been made before this, but obviously I'm not in control of the team, so those moves aren't made. So we'll see where this goes. Obviously, first thought was, this is a speed option. Gonna run some sweeps, maybe some two-man game, like that kind of stuff to use the speed and maybe get some open shots. But, like, I would assume Perk's not playing this week. If he's going to be put on the 25-man roster, wouldn't see Perk playing if that was going to be the case.
Do you think this is a – because they mentioned this on the broadcast too, where they felt like Nekai was playing a lot more offensive middie so far and not being able to get back too much on defense just because of Perk being out and how they've had to switch things up. Do you think this is just a way to employ potentially using Nekai more defensively?
To get the whole podcast hosted by Stephen McAvoy and John Mavalia, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Get In The Whole Pod and be on the lookout for a ton of great content keeping you up to date on the world of golf. Releasing weekly, a part of the Underground Sports Philadelphia family of podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I mean, it could be, but why would you go get Sergio to refill his offensive void?
Yeah.
He's not.
That's the only thing I could think of, is like they want to use certain guys more in a defensive role to, you know, try to help alleviate some of the missing pieces back there. But yeah, it's an interesting move. Hasn't played since the bubble, was not on a roster last year. And he's back with the Woods for Long Island. Matchups this week are, they're okay. I think there's two very standout matchups and then two, like, let's see what happens type of things. Chrome Dogs. If Jake Withers was playing this game, I think this would be even more intriguing. It sucks that Withers is out. I don't know if Chris Sabia is out or not. I didn't get a chance to really full-blown look at their 19-man roster, but the way Chrome's been playing, like, good luck. They've been just, they're all in a hive mind, sharing each other's brains. I texted Joe Keegan during the press conference, and I was very close to asking Brendan Nicktern if he felt like he was the Rocket Raccoon to Logan Wisnauskas' Groot. The rookies have been balling out for this team. They've made Dylan Malloy, I feel like, have a lot less pressure on his shoulders. Connor Farrell's been sensational. Like I said, Scannone's been great, and their defense doing this man-to-man coverage is working, and it's very fun to watch. Chrome has been fantastic, and I think the one picture that they tweeted out this week is the first time I've seen Pseudo smile in all the years that he's been coaching in the PLL.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen him smile other than that picture. And also, their defense is miraculous to watch. You're right. Like, this is the first time I've seen a defense. Like, they're the only defense in the league that is actually athletic enough to play full man-to-man. Like, you have to be extremely athletic and know that you're all playing lock-off man-to-man. You're all going to be on an island. And if you get beat, you're going to get scored on. Like, they all understand that, so they all just play the best they can. If they get beat, they get scored on, and they look at it. I'm like, all right, got to fix it and move on. It's literally tremendous to watch. Not only like them physically play good defense, but also the like their short-term memory.
And you as a D guy have to be like salivating watching their defense play.
Oh, it's so much fun. Like, I'm literally like, especially as a coach too, I'm like, yeah. Oh, like, I just want athletes I can do this with. Like, that's what sucks about like my program, like my high school program, is like not having the funding to like have gear. Like, if I had gear to just give to kids, I would run in that kind of defense, because I would just go to my football team or my basketball team and be like, hey, guess what? You're playing lacrosse this year. Here's this, here's this, here's this. You're going to play like it's basketball. You're going to hit kids. You're going to do this. It would just be amazing. But like, I don't have the funding for that. But it is a lot of fun to watch them do it. Like, it's so much.
Everyone's going to talk about JT Giles Harris, rightfully so. JT, please, 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 brother, I'm asking you, get some white or teal or something, different color cleats. My goodness.
You're not going to get it out of him, bro. He's been wearing black cleats for forever.
He loving the Black Force look.
Hey, it's going to look nasty with that new helmet and the black jersey stuff.
Or, if you want to wear the black cleats, change the socks. Just change the socks. One or the other. Everyone's going to talk about JT. Everyone's going to talk about Jesse. I feel like Mike Manley's not getting enough love for how fucking unbelievable he's been playing at his age. Like, he saved the game for them against the Archers. He's been playing lockdown defense for the first two games of the season. He's that scrappy guy who's going to get in your head mentally, because we saw that happen against the Redwoods. He's been very, 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 very good for them. And a heavily underrated player on that roster as a whole.
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I think it's just expected. You know, like, this was...
Well, in terms of just, like, people talking about their guys, it's Jesse and JT getting, like, the spotlight. But then Mike's over here for the real lacrosse heads playing, you know, Mike Manley ball.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, everybody's expecting that from him, so no one's going to really talk about it. We didn't know what to expect from JT. He hasn't played in over a year. Jesse hasn't played in over a year, and he was coaching, so he was kind of late coming in. So, like, everybody, like, the expectations were so unknown and questionable for those guys. Like, as Mike Manley, he played so good last year, and he was, like, the key piece that held that defense somewhat together. And, you know, and he was playing both sides and played well in transition. Like, we were expecting him to continue that coming in. So I think he kind of like fell back sort of in everybody's minds, but like, everybody's like, oh yeah, that's Mike Manley. Like, you know, like, even Eddie Glazner, no one has talked about Eddie Glazner, but like, has he taken a step back at all? No, he's just played his game through and through, and we have nothing to talk about because we know what to expect from Eddie Glazner. It's kind of that same thing with Mike Manley for Chrome. Like, people aren't really going to talk about him, but he's going to go out, he's going to be aggressive, he's going to cause turnovers, he's going to get a shot or two off in transition, and he's probably going to talk a lot of shit while he's doing it.
Whips Atlas might be the best game of the weekend.
Check mark. Yes.
That's all there needs to be said. Outside of Zed Williams, I believe everybody's healthy. The only interesting note is Jake Caraway, once again, not in the lineup. Coach Rubio. Sorry, allergy season. Rubio brought up in the press conference that, you know, we might see him sooner rather than later. I don't know when sooner is, but
sooner on another team.
It's 3 weeks into the year and you are missing a guy who is prolific in this offense. Granted, your offense as a whole is just prolific right now. I'm excited for this game, and it's under the lights. It's the late game. It's going to be very, very fun on the Twitter machine. Get your popcorn ready. That's all I got to say about that game.
Yeah, yeah. Get your popcorn ready. I'm excited for it. That one's going to be fun. I mean, I'm more excited for this new renovated Whipsnakes D to go against what is probably the best offense in the league right now.
This is the first time that, like, this will feel like a rivalry game. Mm-hmm. That they build it to be when the league started. And it's not a rivalry. I'll tell you that much. But this could spark it, and that would be fun. Because I feel like every team should have a rivalry with Whipsnakes.
Hey, I'm about to say something real wild now that we're talking about rivalries. I really hope the Woods lose this week.
God damn.
Can you imagine how the Woods would play going into rivalry week next week at Baltimore? Playing at Homewood without a dub. 0-3 going into Homewood against the Whipsnakes.
Under the lights, too.
I'm just saying, it's a nice recipe to start a run and then, you know,
but win also
a few games in a row.
On the flip side, if they do win, you get that, like, pressure off your back of having not won going into that matchup against Whipsnakes, and you can kind of play a little loose.
Maybe.
Just saying. The game that has the biggest question mark for me, simply because two guys are questionable. Cannons Archers got moved into the 1 o'clock ABC slot. Yes, ABC, cable TV, tune in. If Grant and Lyle play, this game is going to contend with Whips Atlas in terms of just like scoring and like how fun it's going to be. If neither of them play, it's still going to be a very fun game, because you look at how both teams' offenses have operated without them, and they've still been able to score. I think the biggest question mark and the very fun question mark is the stripe. What Bones Kelly shows up for Cannons, and which face-off guy is going to be taking face-offs for Archers. Both goalies have been playing very well this year. This is a very fun, like, almost mirror match without those guys in the lineup. You got scoring from all angles.
I kind of like Nick Morocco a little bit more than I like Gitz. Morocco's kind of been crazy this year.
I feel like Gitz is kind of feeling himself after that hit. And I'm just talking about his muscles being sore.
Hey, I'm not knocking Gitz at all. But I mean, Morocco's kind of been, he looks just like he did last year. Like, I remember talking about Morocco at the beginning of the year last year. Like, yo.
Well, we both said he was an all-star up until he wasn't.
Yeah, literally. Like, I remember like talking about him like legitly, like, yo, this dude's like, he's popping. And now, like,
shout out to Mr. On the Rocks. He's gotta play well so that Bitcoin can go back up.
Yeah, because we know he's going to get his salary in Bitcoin.
Yeah, like he's the biggest Bitcoin guy in the league.
Yeah,
it's in his bio.
And he wore the shirt.
Like, he needs that to go back up. And he's playing like he wants it to go back up. This is just, like, both of these teams have, like, a lot of similarities in terms of, like, just being able to score from wherever and whoever. Whether it's, you know, your attack, your midfield, and then their biggest question mark is fucking stripe. Always. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I think the biggest, you know, swing factor is which defense plays better. As a unit, I think. It also sucks that Archers don't have Warren Jeffrey for this game. Because if they did, then like their defenses would all be intact, and that would be a lot of fun. I really hope Lyle and Grant are able to play. Grant did post on his Instagram story with his cleats, so I feel like he is going to play. Now we just need Lyle to do the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want one to play if the other isn't going to play, if that makes sense. Like, either
for both, selfish reasons,
either both or none.
I don't know, Lyle.
Not even for selfish reasons, for like everyone's reasons. Like, no one should watch a lopsided game.
I don't think this game's gonna. I think this game's gonna be like very back and forth.
It'll be close, but
like this, just,
the flow of the one offense would be very different than the flow of the other.
This game, if Cannons can put together like three quarters completely, unlike last week, like this game could be potentially highest scoring game of the weekend.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Because, like, Atlas can score. It's a matter can Whipsnake score as a unit and not rely on, like, one guy to put the ball in the back of the net. Where Cannons have Drenner. Asher Nolting's been playing fantastic ball. You know, Shane Jackson's been great. And fucking Cannons, just they have, it, like, nine guys deep that they dress every game day to go out there attack and midfield-wise. And then Archers, it's the Archers offense. Will Manny, Marcus Altman, Schreiber, Ryan Ambler, and Matt Moore. I want to see more of Matt Moore in this offense. Like, he showed what he can do. And, you know, Connor DeSimone's been great for them. Like, they have options now. And that's the fun part about both of these teams, is they both have options. Shout out Jack Harlow. Chaos Redwoods. This is the what if matchup of the week. let's have a slop fest. Cause I feel like that's what this game is gonna be. I really don't know how this game is gonna go. This is the, like, question mark wise in terms of game and like what happens and transpires is this game.
That could be, it really could go one of two ways.
The Woods quite find, literally.
Like, the Woods literally find everything and just figure it out. Or they continue looking absolutely terrible and get blown out by a team that is, I don't know.
Let's also say this too. Chaos are getting Jalen Rogers for the very first time.
True, but I just don't know how to assess their team just all around in general. It's so tough to truly
such talk a about weird their team right now. Like, structure where it's like the build of this team is like a combo of their bubble squad and last year in terms of the way that they're playing. Because of the pieces and then just the, you know, the style of game that they play. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for more Austin Stotts. He scored. The boy's back. He looked good.
Yeah, I thought he looked fine. I thought they could have given him the ball more for a little more dodges. Agreed. But, you know, it is
easing him back in. I think he looked pretty solid. If that goal for Westberg would have gone in, I would not be hosting the show with you right now.
That was unreal.
I would have ascended into so many different multiverses. It would have been insane. He should have gotten a point just for attempting that.
Yes.
It was ridiculous.
I literally about lost it.
Like, that was absurd. So, yeah, Long Island's going to be fun. If you're going to be there, your boy will be there. I'm taking the getting the whole boys to their first PLL games, which should be an absolute doozy. So they'll be taking that in. I know Eric Mineo is going to be there. I believe James Maselli is going to be there. It's going to be a time on Long Island. I'm going to miss you, Deej.
I know. I'm sad, but hey, coaching is coaching. you know, it's so fun, man. I mean, it's fun. My guys are always asking.
And I'll be holding it down. And,
oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm not worried about you. You do your thing all the time. It's just sad for me. Like, these,
yes,
you know, missing two lacrosse meccas back to back in Long Island and Baltimore is like hitting the heart. But like, also reminded myself, like, coaching, it's fun, it's rewarding in its own rights. And like, I will have my time to watch, you know, lacrosse out in Long Island. I will have my time to go down to Baltimore and watch lacrosse. Like, I'll go when I'm supposed to go. For now, I'll save my $400 plus on flight tickets and relax here at the crib and go coach.
Hey, at least this year, the fun part about your flights, they're tax write-offs.
I know, right? That and freaking, I don't even know, missing flights, sitting in the airport for extra 2 hours and just having a good time. Having a great
time. Without any further ado, let's feed some PLL ducks and get into our Long Island Picks of the Week, also powered by the homies over at Pickup. Go to playpickup.com and start playing the hottest headlines in sports, people. First matchup of the weekend, Deej, Chrome versus Water Dogs. You and I texted each other earlier in the week and both said Chrome by a billion. Are you still sticking with that?
Oh, yeah. No Sours, no Withers, etc.
I forgot Michael Sours is out as well.
Yeah, and he's back with that medical tag, which makes me concerned that he has another C word. I don't say that word because then people around me get that word.
It was late in overtime or the fourth quarter. He stayed down, and I did not agree with the refs allowing the game to continue while that was happening. It was kind of weird. I would have stopped that, especially knowing the player history. Hopefully Michael Sours is okay. But yeah, I gotta agree. Chrome are gonna they're just playing so in sync right now. Shout out the Backstreet Boys. that I can't not pick Chrome. Just saying, you and I said Chrome are gonna be that team to watch, and it keeps on rolling. Whips Atlas, arguably best game of the weekend. How you see this one going, Deej?
I mean, literally the hottest team right now is Atlas. I can't really pick against them. If there was a team that could probably beat them right now, it would be the Whips in some crazy game where defense steps up, Nards is playing well, and the offense wins a crazy overtime or one goal game at the end like they've done the first two games. But as of right now, Trevor's playing too good and the offense looks amazing for Atlas, so I think that is their carrying point. But they could run into some trouble with the Whips offense. And I mean, King Cannon's done okay in that so far. But I mean, they have some liabilities on that side of the field. So it's going to be a close one. But I think Atlas pulls it out.
I'll say this before I make my pick. This is the best defense Atlas has played all year so far. So that's something to just watch out for when it comes to this Atlas offense. Is how they play against this defense. The Stripe is going to be a doozy. Nards versus Trevor, they've both been sensational. If Zed was playing in this game, I would definitively be like flipping a coin right now because I wouldn't know what to do. But I did lose our one swing game last week. Unfortunately, got embarrassed in our one swing game. I'm going to go out on a limb and pick the Whip Snakes to win this game. I'm very intrigued by the Whips defense versus Atlas offense matchup. And like you said earlier in the show, Burnlore's been playing great and Kincannon's been okay. So I'm going to go with Whips in a close game to win this one and keep it from not being a rivalry, because it's not a rivalry until both teams win at least once. The battle of the question marks, Cannon's Archers on ABC. I think my biggest determining factor when I was looking at this game, even with both, if both guys are out with Lyle and Grant, is that Cannons haven't put together a full four quarters like Lyle said he wanted to see them do after week one, even though they won that game. Archers just have the depth, which they haven't had in years past either, in terms of just guys being able to roll out, whether it's Will Manny, Tom Schreiber, Marcus Holman. You know, you got the two young bucks out there now too. Like, they just have pieces, and they still are playing without Connor Fields, and they've been playing without Grant, and they've been playing without Warren Jeffrey on defense. I'm going to take Archers. I like the way that they played last week. It felt like they got their swagger back. And this is no slight to Cannons. I think they've been super fun to watch, and they've been playing very, very well. They just need to figure out how to put a full four quarters together, because if they let a quarter slip away from them against an Archers team that is so precise with putting the ball in the back of the cage, you're doomed. So I'm going to go with the Archers to win this one.
Yeah, I like the Archers in this one, and it goes back to that point of the defenses, but it's more of Cannon's defense still trying to get their unit back cohesive, just getting Brody Merrill back last week after his NLL season, and they don't have a lot of depth there down at D, and they're just really working things out. So I think playing an offense like Archers, who kind of seemed to figure it out last week, especially with the rotating pieces that they have, is going to be tough for them defensively. And I think Archers have just enough offensively. Their one problem will be faceoff, like you said. Mm-hmm. That's my teetering point here, is Stephen Kelly. We know what
revenge game.
We can almost know what to expect from him, because he's, you know, played well. He's played well this year, and we know he's going to play. We don't know who's going to play the faceoff stripe for Archers. So,
and it's a revenge game for Bones.
Yeah. So there's a lot there, but I think it comes down to how good the offenses are actually going to play and who's going to score the goals. And the Archers offense is just in a better position to defend against a defense.
And I think if Cannons want to have a shot and Lyle's not playing, let Ryan Drenner get cooking. Let him cook a little bit, because when he's on, he's on. And that's not just because he's a friend of the program. Chaos Redwoods wraps up the weekend. This has been a fun little mini rivalry since day one. I don't know where I'm going with this game. This is tough. I said to CFO Margie that until they win two in a row, I can't pick Redwoods to win a game. With Challen Rogers being back for Chaos, that's going to be very interesting. And I think my determining factor is simply Chaos have the best goalie on the planet. I'm going Chaos to win this game.
Oh, yeah. Mine is solely on my guys on the defensive side over there. The palindrome guys outside of the one who wears sticks. We got to get his number together.
Nah, it all adds up. 11 plus 88 equals 99.
That's like the only reason it's acceptable.
It's the chain of command.
Hey, the first time one of them bounces or changes their number, he's got to change his too. But for now, it's cool. But I think Jack and Jared are going to continue to have great games. BK's played phenomenal to step into the league so far. And obviously you're adding Blaze to that equation. So I got Chaos to win based off of their defense.
TD's got to play better.
Against what is still a struggling Redwoods offense that hasn't figured it out yet.
TD, if Redwoods want to even have a shot, TD's got to play better. I don't know what it's been for him at the stripe, especially last week. He just got absolutely worked. But he's got to win possessions for them, and Redwood's got to pass the ball like into each other's sticks, not 40 yards over each other's heads. But I'm going Chaos. You're going Chaos. We're both going Archers. I'm going Whips. You're going Atlas. And we're both going Chrome by a gajillion. I know you hashtag never bet, DJ, but I did hit my two PLL bets last weekend, and it felt really, really good to be back on the board. I had Atlas minus 2.5. That hit easy. And then I parlayed an Atlas money line with Water Dogs plus 1.5. When the game went to overtime, I said, here we go. We're cooking. It was great. We made I think I doubled my money. So that was a nice little betting there for your boy. But those are our PLL Long Island picks of the week, powered by the homies over at Pickup. It was announced this week when Paul Rabil said the name on Part of My Take. The PLL All-Star Game fans get to make the rules. They're asking for fan input on the rules. So DJ and I are going to come up with our most ridiculous and or viable rule for the PLL All-Star Game to submit to potentially be used. There's been a lot of fun stuff and a lot of questionable stuff in the PLL All-Star Game, I'd say, that I've been like, oh, this is cool, or like, this is even gimmicky for an All-Star Game. What would you like to see be made into a rule for this year's All-Star?
Oh, man. This is going to sound so stupid, but if you ever played like Air Force football or whatever in gym class, where you could only take like 2 or 3 steps with the ball and then you had to pass.
Okay.
Could you imagine like professional lacrosse, but they could only take a few steps and then they had to pass the ball?
Was it Squid Game?
Or like, it's like Ultimate Frisbee, but like you could only take that many steps and you got to get rid of the ball. Like,
yeah.
It would be intriguing to see like, you know,
footwork.
The off. First off, Nat, I hope you're listening. There's your practice plan. Make guys move off ball and get open and catch the ball.
Play that'd some be, ultimate, that'd be the ultimate display of like elite footwork and like who can stop on a dime.
Man, like there's so many ways to emphasize off of the cross based off of that. But I mean, I think that would be cool to see in the All-Star game. Like just have guys, you know, just messing around and, you know, only taking a few steps and maybe you see some guy rip one from like 60 feet away or 60 yards away, because why not?
I would like to see the money ball concept come into play, which would be pretty cool. Whether it's, you know, you score with the money ball and it's 3 points, or you score with the money ball and like, it racks up a positive. Say it's like for a whole quarter and you play with the money ball, quote unquote, and every goal scored goes to a charity for that player. I think that would be pretty cool. Speaking of Squid Game, red light, green light in one of the quarters. Ref blows the whistle. You have to make a decision similar to your concept. You have to make a decision if you're going to pass or shoot. When you're just stopped. I would also love to see 30-second shot clock for a quarter. Because I know they change the rule for every quarter. So a 30-second shot clock would be sick.
Yeah, somebody said something about like shortening the field and having a 30-second shot clock.
That'd be sweet.
That would be kind of cool. What else could be kind of cool?
Shirts and skins.
For an entire quarter, individual Bravehearts. He just sent people out one by one.
For a quarter, you have the goalies take face-offs, and the face-off guys are your goalie. Good night. Imagine Blaze at the stripe.
I mean, the face-off part would be hilarious.
Oh,
well, I think amazing. I think both of it would be hilarious. Because, like, imagine, like, Earhart coming down, like, ripping one on Trevor. Like, homie's hopping out the way.
I was going to say, on TD.
I don't know. I think TD's crazy enough to... Well, I think TD has played in net. Like, his brother,
true,
Chase, plays in net. I feel like he's hopped in there and be like, yeah, I can do it. Like, let me see that thing, man. I got it. Get out the way, man. I can save a few balls. You're not that special.
The one rule I want changed is that the skills competition is on a different day than the game.
And then we do, like, a celebrity game.
And then we do, like...
putting us in it. Oh!
Maybe you, not me.
No, you got... Dude, come on. You've seen celebrity all-star in basketball games. Like, there's half the people out there don't know what they're doing.
SportsCenter not top 10 plays that music over one of them trying to swing for the fences and falling straight on their ass.
Okay, and it's awesome when you got OTB Laxpot on the back of your jersey and everybody's like, yo, we need to tune in. What you, like, get with the program here, bro. The algorithm will work. That's a foolproof way to get
on. We also need freshman versus sophomore game.
Yeah, absolutely. Would love that. Absolutely would love that.
What do you think the jerseys are going to be like for All-Star this year?
Ooh, I don't know. And I think All-Star would be kind of cool if we did USA versus World.
Yes.
So, like, had the All-Star players and then one team's World, one team's USA.
You got to also think that one of the quarters for the All-Star game, they're going to play sixes.
That'd be kind of cool.
I feel like that's like
maybe
inevitably going to happen as one of the rules.
But I think with that, then they're going to do the whole shortened field 30 seconds. So mm-hmm. all of that gets roped into one.
That'd be sick. And this is where people can comment on YouTube or in the Apple Podcast reviews of what you want your rule to be. Come on, people. Let's go. We'll wrap up with this. Tribeca Film Festival happened. Fate of a Sport debuted. Paul Rabel said they're looking for a place for it to stream now. They're talking about all that, whether it's Netflix, ESPN Plus, all that good stuff. I'm excited to see it whenever we can see it. Debut looked great. The social media reviews were all positive and then some. So shout out to Paul, Mike, B-Rob, and the rest of the crew who made that all go down. And, I mean, PLL Tribeca is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I mean, this is huge for the sport, you know, to get such an inside look, be on Tribeca, you know, the level of Tribeca Film Festival, you know, Paul's name on it, you know, him and his brother, and to be there in face, you know, for the opening, and to have words to say that this is, you know, continuing to trend the sport upward. Like, this is what we need. Get, you know, more common eyes on it, you know, especially if we can get it on, you know, ESPN Plus or, you know, Netflix or something. People are always just thumbing through streaming services looking for something random to watch. This is the kind of thing that people fall upon and they watch it. And then the next thing you know, they're watching lacrosse every night because it's one of their favorite sports now. Like, I absolutely love the idea that they made this doc and they were able to get it into the Tribeca Film Festival.
The fact that Jeffrey Wright is the narrator. For those who don't know who Jeffrey Wright is, if you've seen the new Batman movie, say hello to Commissioner Gordon. If you've seen Marvel's What If, say hello to Uatu the Watcher. Like, that blew my mind. That was one of the coolest things. And he was on the panel last night after the debut as well, which was really cool. And I think they could do, like, the double up of, like, Netflix and ESPN Plus for streaming. Like, because, like, The Last Dance is on Netflix and ESPN Plus. So, like, you can double up, and I think that'd be sweet. Just reach as many eyeballs as possible. But shout-out to Paul, friend of the program, Mike Rabel, and B-Rob and the rest of the crew for Fate of a Sport. That's all we got for you guys. We did put our poll out there asking you, do you want two episodes? Do you want one? What do you want? Because DJ and I have just been talking, like, recapping everything on a Friday when everybody's kind of already past what happened the week before. We're going to keep going with one episode a week until All-Star break of the PLL to kind of just gauge how things go once NLL's over, see how things go. And if we feel like two episodes is worth it, we'll let you guys know. We just don't want it to be like, oh, here's the Friday episode, and then here's an episode on Monday, and you're not listening to Friday, you're not listening to Monday, whatever it may be. So we'll let you guys know, and you guys can continue to let us know. Tweet at us, at OTBLaxPod, tweet at DJ, DM him, at STS_NextGreat, DM me, tweet at me, KBIZZL311, post in our Twitter communities, join our Twitter communities, leave it as an Apple Podcast review. Five stars only. 5 stars on Apple, 5 stars on Spotify. Leave it in the YouTube comment section. Hit the like button, the subscribe button, the bell icon. And check out the website, undergroundsportsphiladelphia.com, for all of our written content. And if you're going to be on Long Island, I'll see you as you're listening to this on Friday and Saturday. And enjoy a weekend full of lacrosse, because it's going to be an absolute doozy of a weekend once again. Long Island plus NLL Finals Game 3. Big thank you to our sponsors, Tomahawk Shades, Kenwood Beer, and Bino Board. All of their information is in the podcast notes, if you're listening audio-wise, and in the YouTube comment section in the description on YouTube. This has been episode number 226 of the allegedly award-nominated, honorably mentioned, and, of course, viewable on the YouTube Outside the Box podcast, part of the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. For Deej, I'm KB. Till next week, we're getting the heck out of here. Peace.
Peace.
And that's Outside the Box.